Hello, everyone. Welcome to Be the Change podcast. Today, I have another very special live episode of Be the Change podcast, and my guest is here. We are at the My Life, My Say office in Plexal in London, which is very, very cool, and I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to meet up. So I'm going to have my guest do a little introduction of himself, and we're going to get started with that. We just talked a little bit about our expectations for the podcast, and so I think it's going to be a really good one. And yeah, I'm excited for people to tune in, both watching us live and then listening to the podcast after. But go ahead and give a little introduction.
Amazing. First of all, thank you for having me. My pleasure. So my name is Memphis Ayewale. I'm 21 and currently what I do, I'm a consultant in real estate. I'm an author. I published my own self-help book. I'm also an advisor. So I sit on a board of a CIC and they help with young employment, engagement and development. I also sit on another board of another company called Reach Out to All. I'm a director there and I do similar work there. Essentially, it's about amplifying youth voices. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell. We'll definitely dive into more
about what I do. And there's a lot to ask about just in those things. And I found out about Reach Out to All as well just today. So I'm excited to learn more about that. But tell me a little bit about what got you started with all of this work that you're doing, especially with kind of youth empowerment and things like that. Tell me about that story.
Yeah, of course. So for me, it started with my book. So when I was 17, I published my first book, and it was a self-help book called The Nature of Hard Work. And it's around essentially growing and developing. It's quite a few chapters, and it talks about your life in school, when you're doing sports, and how to kind of, it's like a guide on how to excel in life. And a lot of people ask me, how did I go around publishing the book so young, or why did I publish the book so young? And it goes back to my mindset and my mentality, which I then, before publishing my book, I acquired from doing athletics, track and field. And I did that for maybe 6-7 years, like competitively at a high performing level. But throughout that period, it took me a lot of disciplines and a lot of drive, perseverance, and just keep pushing. And certain skill sets that I acquired from there that I didn't acquire maybe from school or life, it taught me. And then over time, I realized I was very motivational. I used to tell my friends or peers in school or people, family, whoever it is, I was always the person trying to motivate. When I was an athlete, I was also the captain. I became one of the youngest captains ever at 15 years old. And I was very young and I was captain people who were like older than me, like in their 20s. And I had to learn to manage people, but also learn to be someone who can lead. And that led me to becoming someone who's just naturally wants to give back, mm-hmm. naturally just wants to get involved. And then I realized that I love motivating people. And I started off just literally posting quotes, reposting loads of quotes on my social media pages when I was young. And those people told me I should make an account. And then I made a motivational account. And then I started making my own quotes. And then the cycle just continued. It went from quotes to a book. Mm-hmm. And the book was great. It's like, I look at the sales, like it's in India now, it's in America.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's in Australia. And like, uh-huh. I think the highest place it's sold, if I remember off the top of my head, I think it's India. It's just crazy.
So cool.
Like, I'll show you the stats after, like, it's actually insane.
Yeah.
And like, it shocks me to this day. Like, I remember the first time I published the book, I didn't want to. So I made a pen name called Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hurricane name originated from being an athlete. Like, I was on the track and there was like a nickname. And I didn't want to use my full name when I first published my book because I was a bit imposter syndrome, nervous, worried what people would think about me. So I then meant to say, okay, let me use Hurricane. And I didn't tell no one when I first published it for the first few, I'd say a month probably. And then surprisingly, I wasn't expecting to get no sales, but I actually got sales, which was very impressive for myself. And then like I appeared to my friends and family, and of course they were supportive. So it was quite impressive, but that's pretty much how I got into the whole concept of motivating people, of self-help, personal development. That's like my forte. I'm very big on that. And obviously the youth work I do now as well, it goes back to empowering the youth. Because I remember once I was in their shoes, there wasn't always that many people to empower, or maybe there's a few, but it wasn't very accessible. So the work we do, for example, like as a Reach Out to All, it's about making sure the youth has the access to feel empowered, to get involved. And that's why I've decided to get into reach out to all and building pathways. But it's like the work I do, I choose very specifically what I want to do, because I don't just want to get involved in any work, because it's about the value you bring. And sometimes when you think you don't, sometimes when you think like the name's not big or it's not going to be a big ROI, you have to look at, does the value outweigh what it is? For example, I remember when my first ever like presentation or public speaking, it was to youth kids, like adolescents, maybe between 13, 16 year olds, maybe younger. And it wasn't a big talk, you know, but I thought the ROI, the value, I'm going to be giving them something valuable. I want to be inspiring them. One of my big missions and aim is to, I said this to you before, build, to be a future leader whilst building future leaders, to be a leader while building future leaders. That's really key and pivotal work.
No, definitely. That's a great story. I think there's a lot to unpack there as well. But the first thing that I was thinking of is, can you talk a little bit about, I guess it's kind of like a sneak peek at your book, but talk a little bit about the lessons that you learned or the skills that you acquired from athletics that you may, I think that's a really interesting concept, because I think it's not something that I talk a lot about on the podcast. So tell me a little bit about those skills and how you have transformed them into all of this work that you're doing now. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more.
No, definitely. The main thing I really would say I learned from athletics is like really like hard work. As cliche as it sounds, hard work. But like, you know, I speak about this in the book, I think. But even like I speak about this before prior on like other platforms, but like what do people do, like class as hard work? For some people hard work is like eating healthy, going to gym, having a good relationship, getting involved in doing youth work. So hard work is very subjective. Mm-hmm. But like what athletics really taught me is, like for me, it really changed my mindset. So it taught me hard work, but in other words, it taught me perseverance, dedication, humility, and patience. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the key thing here, delayed gratification, being able to wait. Like there's times where as an athlete, when you first start, most people get it just for fun, for joy. And then over time, it gets to a point where, you know, you're doing it for a bit more, you know, you're getting competitive, you're starting to win things, and you want to get involved and be the best at some point, depending on who you are. And for me, that was what I wanted to do. So it goes from enjoying it to, I guess, I still am enjoying it, but you have to learn to separate your emotions. And that's another thing. So the main two key things I would say is detaching your emotions, mm-hmm. Or just understanding emotional intelligence, when to be emotional, when not to be emotional in the sport itself, and then delayed gratification. Those are the main two things I would say, like those, like for me, were the pinnacle things I had to learn and I had to master. And they to be fair, they took years to like actually learn, because as an athlete, there's times where you win and there's times where you lose, and there's times where you really want to win this thing and you lose badly, and you know it really just play in your mind, you know, because you work hard, and sometimes you know you work harder than that athlete or that athlete or that person, and they know too, but they're probably beating you, not because, maybe because they even do something better than you in terms of their diet or their sleep, or maybe because it's just natural talent, they've been doing it much longer and you have to wait a few more years to catch up. And that's what actually got me into athletics, actually. If you go back to that point, I remember when I was 14 probably, and I was doing a school sports day, mm-hmm. but it was like a massive school sports day, multiple schools connected essentially. And I did a 100-meter race and I probably came sixth. And I was just like, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy myself. Went home, looked at my dad. Dad got me in the club. Within that same summer, I was faster than those kids who beat me. And then years went on, like I was doing different sports days and I was literally like, as they call it in track and field, like you would gap the athlete or leave them by a far, mm-hmm. fair amount of distance. It's been quite interesting. But the main two things I would say that I've taken away from my flags, many things, but those two things are probably the key things: delayed gratification, emotional intelligence, and overall just hard work, perseverance, and being able to commit, even when you don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. So detaching those emotions and just keep compounding interest.
Yeah.
Keep on going. It eventually stacks up and builds the momentum you need.
Yeah. As far as delayed gratification, I think I'm starting to think about the different ways that that kind of applies to life now and as you get older. Can you tell me about some of those ways that it's applied in your other experiences? Talk me through that a little bit. I think it's really interesting.
No, it's for
that
sure.
concept. But
no, for sure. Like, it's like delayed gratification is so key, especially to young people. And it's an amazing thing because you learn about it over time. And obviously the opposite to delayed gratification is instant gratification, which most people, when we're young, we really desire, whether that's because we see people doing something we want to do, or we just have this idea of what we want to achieve. And a lot of people just have that instant gratification. They want it so soon. But the truth is, like, I remember, like, listening to, it was a podcast, and the person was saying, if you had to build a character, if you had to build a person, what would you put yourself through? And most people would give the answer of hard work, building that character, the nitty-gritty, getting in it and, like, learning and really evolving. And that's the truth. Like, when you go through delayed gratification, it allows you to learn a different type of skill, patience, which a lot of people don't have, surprisingly. So once you master that skill, it helps. And for me, like, to answer the question, how it's helped me over my life and my journey so young, let's say when I stopped doing athletics competitively, I then had to figure out what else I liked and what else I enjoyed. One of those things wasn't school, to say. Like, there's at times you enjoy school, but there's at times where I didn't feel I was the best in that subject or that subject. But I had to learn, stick it out, do the important thing of getting the, at least trying your best and getting the grades you need to get to the next step. And something I didn't want to do is go to university. So I looked at the best next steps for myself, which was the apprenticeship pathway. Getting into apprenticeships was tough to say because I had no guidance. I had to literally figure out from A to Z where I needed to go, how I was going to go around getting there. And in that process, I needed to have delayed gratification. So I went from my first apprenticeship, just applying, looking for, like, places online, trying to figure out what I need to do. I got my first apprenticeship. And it was like a level 2 qualification.
Yeah.
So to put in perspective for people in the UK, that's like a GCSE, basically still in high school. And I was okay with that. Like, I had to figure out, like, okay, I'm young. I don't mind waiting and do another qualification. Maybe it's not going to benefit me, but maybe it does. Mm-hmm. But you have to program yourself. And when I say this to people, programming, what does it mean? It's training your brain, but it's like you have neuroplasticity. Like, you can, like, reteach and relearn and evolve. You can always have that growth mindset and always keep evolving. So I did my first apprenticeship, and in this period, when you start doing jobs, as most people know, like, most jobs get tedious, they get repetitive, and it goes back to having that delayed gratification of sticking it out, doing it. But it's the key things you take away within those moments. You learn a lot of things. I remember my first time I spoke to my first client, my first job, I couldn't speak. Like, I literally couldn't get out. I was nervous, you know. So to think I'd be here now having these conversations is amazing. But to get there, I had to have to get delayed gratification. And then I went from that job to another job. But the other job I got essentially was, like, on paper, just in general, the best role you can get at the company. Because I was working with the president of one of the biggest art companies in the whole world. And to get there, I didn't just, you know, to get there, I had to go through what I went through, essentially. Because everything that I went through built those skills that allowed me to present myself in a specific manner. Because I applied for one role. And, you know, they liked me so much, they offered me another role. And I was offered multiple roles in the end, but the specific role I took was working with the president, obviously. But essentially, that whole process is just delayed gratification. You know, if I didn't take my first leap to go to my first job, to go through the process of applying, figuring it out, being patient, knowing in the long run, it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
And again, back to the other point, that compounding interest, and just knowing it will come in due time.
Yeah. I think that's so important. And I'm also thinking about social media and the way that when you were talking about instant gratification, I think that just speaks to it so much, where we love to have everything right now. We love to have it like right on our fingertips, and we can, you know, pretty much do anything instantaneously. Yeah. So I think that's so important to instill and to teach the importance of. And I think I'd love to talk with you more about that choice to go the apprenticeships route, because I think it's so interesting. And in the US, we don't have like similar processes where it kind of leads you straight to, you know, bigger career positions. Tell me a little bit about what they are, what the process looks like. Walk me through all of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like this part, I actually like the part when I get to speak to people about the education pathways for me is another key thing. Just because, as before, like in school, like that was for my school at least, we never had to focus on that. And to think like you can do that route and still be like happy, successful, however you see it, it's all perspective, is an amazing thing. So to break it down, how apprenticeships work is on the job you're working whilst also studying a qualification.
Okay.
And normally they're maybe 12 to 18 months, the average one. You have some that are longer because they're an actual degree, which I'll get into. But so the basic ones, you have like level 2, a normal equivalent to a GCSE, and you have a level 3, which is equivalent to an A-level diploma. And then you have like level 4, which is a foundation degree, and then level 5 and above, they're like master's degrees essentially. Yeah. But those ones are more like, they're very competitive one, but also two, you definitely need to have the late gratification, because normally it's the same length as a degree, so you have to do like 3 to 4 years, sometimes longer. But normally it's worthwhile. But the thing is, like in schools, they're not teaching this. Now they are, I'd say, because I've been to a few schools where I get to speak about it. But not so long ago, it wasn't a hot topic around it. And there's just so many different platforms, so many different ways that people can go around getting into apprenticeships that they don't know about. So for example, when I first started, I was looking on the basic places, the government websites, agencies. But there's so many, like now, there's so many like learning providers and training providers. Some with the Multiverse, Pathway CTM, and there's so many other platforms that offer that specific route to go down for school leavers.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's an amazing route. It's just literally you get an opportunity to work with organizations, great companies, and learn, and you're getting paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, you get some sort of qualification. And depending on what you want to do, you can either go down the route of staying within that company or branching out. This is what I did, essentially. Because for me, one of the key ways how I saw it is, if I can go to that company, maybe even that company, doing an apprenticeship all there, what that allows me to do is, one, to network with all those companies, and all those different people, build my personal brand. Two, to get a qualification at each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And three, to literally... to build all your skills, and so it's all compounding interest. So you're getting different skill sets there, different skill sets there, and different skill sets there. And I, from my experience, I've definitely witnessed that. You know, from my first job, I learned so many skills there, and in my second one there, and my third one here. So it's about figuring out what you want to do. But it's very hard, because especially when you're young, there's not that much focus around it all the time, and there's not that much guidance, let's say. Unless you have a strong support team, a strong support structure, but a lot of the kids, you know, you're still figuring out what you want to do. And even when you do figure out what you want to do, you're still technically figuring out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So, yeah, it's very interesting. But the apprenticeship pathways is an amazing opportunity, because it offers that alternative pathway to just university. Because there's loads of kids I know who've been to university and they've dropped out of university because they just didn't enjoy it, or they felt it was peer pressured by school or by their peers. And that's another issue. You know what? Why should they feel pressured? It's also because they just don't know the other pathways. It's hard figuring out the pathways, but once you figure out the pathways, I think it's a great opportunity, and that's why I advocate for it and a champion for it. Yeah,
that is really interesting. I think the pay is also really, that's of course, I think we're having this huge debate everywhere about unpaid paid internships, and I think the closest thing I guess that we would have to kind of set up structures like that in the US is like a year-long paid internship or like but that's so interesting, and I think that is a great way to learn skills, and like you said, networking at each place and kind of gathering up all of these skills and then figuring out where you want to take them. And can you talk a little bit about what you're doing now professionally, on the side with all of your different work, all of your social impact stuff and everything. Talk about kind of what this moment is like for you now.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. So now, like, I look at my life, and every day I wake up and I'm grateful. I'm very happy. Yeah. Very happy, and I think that's another key thing to have in life is gratitude. What I do now, so I focus in real estate. So that's not my day job, let's say. And it's consultancy essentially. So working with company now to generate new business, get us in the door, and to essentially just get our business in front of potential vendors, potential customers, and to get more sales. Essentially, it's a sales role, and that's another key role that can help loads of people depending on what they want to do in life. That's like my day job, consultancy. And yeah, the reason why I chose that, so prior to that, I did two apprenticeships, obviously. And the reason why I chose that was because I realized my strengths, and I like to play to my strengths. And it was more communicating with people, working with clients, advising. And for me, that was a good path. And it was either real estate or tech. In the end, I chose real estate. And I'm very happy with my choice. And I've never seen where it goes. And as I said before, like, I'm still figuring it out, you know.
Yeah.
It's about having longevity and playing the long game. And being patient, that delayed gratification. Like, I think about how long I'm going to do this. Don't want to do CIC work full time. Like, I think about all my plans as well. And it's just about being patient and figuring it out. Obviously, I also do a lot of other work in terms of, I sit on the board of Building Pathways. And I've only been there recently, maybe 8 months. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I decided to work with that charity is because once we're in the community I live in, so Creighton, is an underrepresented community essentially, and the work we do there is about youth employment, youth development, youth engagement. That's how I best describe it to people. And you know, what we really try to do there is try to get people into jobs, job careers, path opportunities, whether that's entry level jobs or an apprenticeship. We work with the council, let's say, to get new plans and new like initiations, phases to improve. We do like research work within the community, see how we can somehow help the community going forward. And we also work with organizations and like internal HR recruitment teams to improve their training, how they can involve the youth more in their line of work. Because sometimes that can be outdated within some corporation. That's really key work I do. Another big thing I've been working with for years, I reach out to all. And they're amazing. Essentially, they about amplifying youth voices, and I mean, they've been in countries like Nigeria, Dubai, and obviously, but we're based here in UK. But I started off literally, let's being a normal advisor, let's say, 3 years, and I met the founder, so Marianne, through lockdown.
Okay.
I was on another live stream on Instagram, talking about my book and who I am, and she reached out to me. And essentially, I just did a workshop online. Mm-hmm. And from there, I really liked the work that Richard All was doing. And I just started to work with them on like a full-time basis, getting involved, being a champion, being an advocate. And about when we work with Richard All, it's about getting the youth involved. So we do workshops, do mentoring, we do summer activities. Like through Richard All, I've been very well networked and connected with so many different people. I've worked with a TEDx speaker. I've been to the Sky HQ. I get to facilitate workshops. For example, I facilitated a presentation at UCL with collaboration of NatWest 2-3 weeks ago. And then before that, we did another workshop, and we got like poets down, dancers so down, cool. And all the youth to give them the platform that they don't actually feel like they have, or feel like they would need more work of. So those are like the main things I say I'm involved in, I do. And other than that, I love to just network and get involved and meet you. For example, I met you through My Life, My Say. Mm-hmm. And so I'm involved in My Life, My Say, and my patchwork, and hopefully more. Like, but I'm trying to balance it. Something I learned from my mentor is trying or not overcommitting, which is really, really key. Because I've been there before, when you're juggling so many things and you overcommit and you have no time for this or time for that. And sometimes I feel like I'm getting to that, but as part of me enjoys that process of being so involved and being so busy, but it's just about having that balance of not overcommitting. and just making sure you really enjoy what you do and you really want to do it for the long term. And that's like being a master at something is really important. And to become a master, you have to be willing to become a fool, which is really key. In the beginning phases of whatever you do, normally you look silly, normally you're like a fool. Some people maybe not, but like for most people, you end up doing something, you start at like either really rubbish at it or you're just not the best at it. And even when you do get a master at something, you can always be better, always continue to grow and to learn. And so that's pretty much what I do in my day to day. And I work with like organizations, other schools. For example, I got offered to go to another like apprenticeship performing pathway where I'm going to be speaking to school students about the apprenticeship pathways essentially. And it's just about making sure I help and put valuable input into the next generation, the change makers, the youth. And even myself, I'm still young, and even when I'm 30, we're all going to still be young. It's just about building the things you want to build, and yeah, just allowing people to know what is out there. Yeah, and just trying your best to get involved. Yeah.
I love that. And I think I really, really resonate with the whole not overcommitting, because I think that's a big thing that I see often with myself, but also the people that I interview, is I think there's so many opportunities, and I think people want to be involved in this and this organization and this opportunity. And but then for me, I've noticed that whenever I start doing that, I start to slip up on like my level of commitment to those things, and then that makes me feel worse. And so I think I love that. I think that's a really, really important point, and it's a really mature one too, where it's like, okay, do the things that you really love and do them really well, and
Yeah,
commit to them,
pretty sure.
because yeah, I just think it definitely pays off more in the long run when you're committed. But yeah, that's awesome. So I'm gonna ask you the signature last question. We talked a little bit about it, so lots of young people want to create change, want to make a difference, but they may not know how to get started with that work.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for those people who may be watching or listening to us later on the
Yeah. Very good question. Off the top of my
podcast?
head. So you have the depending on what you want to do, I think first is figuring out what it is. I guess there's going to be loads of young people who are not fully clear on that. So I'd say probably start off trying different things, getting involved maybe with different sectors, different industries, learning it first. And then when you kind of have like an idea, I would say definitely network heavily within that industry. But to really like stand out, you have to, I'm gonna go back to my key points I said before. You need to figure out what your value is and how you can bring that and get that involved. But I would say to figure that out, or kind of to allow you to stand out, is again the word I'm going to say, is emotional intelligence, growth mindset, and delayed gratification. Those key 3 points, I would say, when you figure out what you want to do, have growth mindset to it. So be willing to do it for ideally long period of time, and then that delayed gratification. So there's going to be stumps, there's going to be hurdles, and you have to be willing to go through it. And that's why it's key, like, to figure out what it is you want to do before getting into it. Because you can change, of course, you can change, but the idea to persevere and to keep going will allow you to grow and build a character. And it goes back to emotional intelligence. And once you figure that out, I feel like as a young person, once you figure those things out, it does give you an advantage, because there's loads of people who don't have that figured out yet. And it's okay, because we're all still learning, and it's all perspective in life. So, but yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah, those 3 points. Yeah.
I think that's great advice, and I love when people are consistent with it. So I think that's great, going back to those points. So what are the best ways for people to get connected with you, to follow along with the work that you're doing, to check out your book, give a little plug for yourself?
Of course, I will be at some point doing a second book.
Exciting.
I don't know when. It'll probably hopefully be it will be even this decade. But it could be
Okay.
3 years, it could be 5 years. I'm just soaking up everything, kind of
That delayed
come
gratification.
exactly gratification, kind of become more wise, like growth mindset.
You go.
But in terms of to reach out to me, I would say Memphis Ayoade on everything. Instagram, that's the thing. I'm trying to build my personal brand much more on Instagram this year. LinkedIn, I'm quite heavily involved in. So LinkedIn, I'm on LinkedIn. And my books on Amazon is called The Nature of Hard Work, colon, Hard Work and Motivation, but you can just put The Nature of Hard Work and you can put my name in and it'll come up. And it's a great book. I've only had good feedback. So I hope, you know, it can help someone out there who's in need of figuring out their path or how to excel in certain areas. It's a great book. I've read it many times, even after I wrote it, and it was an amazing process to go through it. So I can't wait to my next one. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And for all of that information, I'll put it in the podcast description so people can check it out there. But thank you everyone for watching and for listening later on the podcast. Drop a rating, a comment, and subscribe to the podcast. And thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun.
Of course.
And stay tuned for probably next Wednesday if you're listening to this on the podcast. But thank you so much again. Thank you everyone
for
watching.
Me.